FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's bonus edition of Truth and Justice. Today's guest joins me by special request. If you listen to True Crime Binge, then you would have gotten an early tip about the podcast Murder in Alliance. This incredible series was hosted and created by my good friend Maggie Freeling. And let me tell you, she took us all on a wild ride. So much so that Zach practically begged me to get Maggie on the show to talk about the emotional ups and downs of her work. And when Zach speaks, I occasionally listen. Maggie's here with me today to discuss Murder in Alliance and just to catch up and talk about several upcoming projects. All of that right after the break.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Margaret, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Did you get some new work done, or are you just showing more chest meat than normal?
I think I did have some more work done since the last time I saw you, probably.
It seems like extra tattoos that you got going on there.
Yeah, so, I think I definitely have work done.
So what's new there?
Probably this whole area.
So a whole area is covered that wasn't covered before. I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
It's not like a little bit of work done.
It's a good amount of work, yeah.
So how are things? You're still rocking it out in New York?
Yes, I am. I'm actually going to be in Mexico next week, so I'm very excited.
Is that vacation?
For vacation and not work. Isn't that incredible?
That sounds pretty amazing. Where are you going in Mexico?
Mexico City, and then we're going to be in the Cancun area in Acamo.
Nice. I'm going to Mexico. Actually, Zach's going with me. Myself and Zach and our wives and a couple other friends are all going to Cancun in April.
Nice. That's amazing.
Cannot get here sooner. Maggie and I were just talking about before we got on how, like, it's nice, especially during this, that I live like out in the middle of nowhere. I have like a compound and I don't see anybody. But I'm losing my fucking mind right now.
Like, yeah.
After just months of just sitting here in the same place over and over again. Plus, Michigan's not super great in the winter.
Oh, no. I'm sure it's really snowy. Are you going to do CrimeCon this year?
I don't know. I was just talking to Captain about this the other day, and I haven't got anything from them asking me to come. I feel like they're snubbing me.
Well, I don't think anyone's heard from anybody, because that's what I'm hearing from other people, too. Like, maybe it won't even happen. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be in like April, isn't it?
Captain was the one who said to me he hasn't gotten an invite.
Oh, I thought he said he had a code. Maybe they sent it to him a while back.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of wishy. I really enjoyed being at CrimeCon last time. It's good to see everybody. I don't know if I feel like going to Vegas, and it's going to be right after that Mexico trip. So we'll see. Ask me to go. Yeah. And it's like sandwiched right between. I'm going to Mexico in April. And then I'm going to Montana in May.
Montana.
Oh, I just booked that's a backpacking and hunting trip I'm going on. But I just booked so you guys get to hear me and Maggie just catching up because we've talked a little while.
It's true.
but just last night, I just booked we haven't done a family vacation with the kids in like over 2 years now. So we just booked a big vacation this summer, and we're going to Montana with the kids.
Nice.
Pretty excited about it. We asked the two teenagers. We're like, all right, we can go where you want, because we were supposed to go to Hilton Head Island last year, and COVID canceled that. And then this year we have the kids for spring break, and Bella's got a volleyball tournament. And so we're like, we're going to go somewhere this summer. You want beach or mountains? And I was like, beach, mountains, 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 mountains. Not much of a beach guy. And they chose mountains. So we're...
Well, you're already doing the beach, so you can't do beach again.
Right, right. Yeah, so we're flying out to Missoula and heading up to Big Fork, Montana. And we're still staying in an Airbnb on Swan Lake.
It's oh, that's awesome. Oh, Montana's so gorgeous. If I could disappear, that's where I would disappear to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where I want to go when I retire. I need to make enough money that I can just go somewhere with no internet, just live in the mountains, and then be, you know, go nuts there because I'm in my compound and don't see anybody.
Yeah,
with mountains to look at instead of just mud, which is what we have here in Michigan right now.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Oh, so how were your holidays?
They were holiday-y. They were fine. You know, I got to just sit on my couch, which was really nice, and not see anybody, which was also really nice.
Nice. How's Kevin?
He's good. Yeah, he had off all week, so that was really nice to just have the week off together.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Did you get any good prizes for Christmas?
You know, we're not big present people. I don't really believe in those things. Oh. So we did. You know, it's nothing exciting. We got each other like camping equipment, which is like thrilling.
Nice. Yeah. So you should take it up to Northwest Montana and
I know.
All those beautiful trails.
I really want to.
Coolest place in the world. Montana's like 80% public land still. That's why.
Well, that's what John Harden does. He does like a Montana trip every year. Yeah, his Montana trip got canceled, so he wound up doing Utah this year. I forget where in Utah. But yeah, that's what Harden does.
Oh, I absolutely love it there. My wife and I don't do much gifts for each other either. We actually, so this is, they're not a sponsor right now, but we bought each other Brooklinen robes.
Ooh.
For Christmas.
I bought Brooklinen sheets. I really liked them. Do you like the robes?
Yeah. So I've had the sheets and the towels forever, and they've been a sponsor for years and years. Okay. I don't have a current code or I would give it away, but we had gone out with some friends, possibly were overserved, and we're like, what do we do with each other for Christmas? And she's like, and I was ordering new sheets because we wanted to get another because our puppy tore up our sheets. And she's like, we should get each other those robes. And so we did. And now me, being a big feller, I've never had the experience of wrapping up in a robe. Because, you know, you go to a hotel, like a nice hotel, and they have the robes.
They're still too small for you?
Yeah, when you're 6'1", 280 pounds, and you get out of the shower and put the robe
on. Those things, like, drag on the floor for me. That's, like, really.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, not for me. So I never, like, I can't move my arms. I'm stuck in them. But they have like an extra, extra large one that I ordered from Brooklinen. And just the other day, I got out of, for the first time in my adult, of my entire life at 42 years old, I got out of a shower and stepped out and put that big giant robe on. And I wore it for the rest of the day.
It was like the day
after Christmas.
That's a nice robe is so worth it. Like, I should do that.
The Brooklinen is where it's at. My wife says it's the nicest robe she's ever had. And she is tiny like you. So she's had years of practice wearing robes and still says it's the best one.
Well, that's good. We bought each other I bought robes last year during COVID. And I was like, we'll sit around in robes. And they just weren't good robes. So they just weren't, you know, you didn't want to sit around in them. I'm like, I'd rather be wearing a big t-shirt. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't do the job.
A big t-shirt, which is like a medium for you, right?
Yeah,
medium
exactly.
Goes down to your knees.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I did want, other than just catching up, I did want to have you on and talk a little bit. You were specially requested for
really?
One of our bonus episodes by Zach.
Oh, I love Zach.
On the follow-up. as soon as I said, you know, we're going to be just doing, you know, interviews in the interim between these two seasons. And the first thing he said, will you please have Maggie on and talk to her about Murder and Alliance?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what you went through. And I remember I texted you. So you were on True Crime Binge talking about it when it was like first launching.
Yeah.
It was first coming out. So you can listen to that episode if you want to hear all about, like, you know, the background and stuff of the podcast. But it's, you tell about it's an investigative real-time podcast you were doing. And I'll let you kind of break down what the case was and what the show was about.
Yeah. So the podcast, Murder and Alliance, was about a case that I covered when I was doing Unjust and Unsolved. So I did a 45-minute episode about the murder of Yvonne Lane and the potential wrongful conviction of David Thorne back in 1999. So Yvonne Lane was murdered April Fool's Day morning, 1999, brutally murdered, virtually decapitated while three of her children were home, and her ex-boyfriend and the father of one of her five kids, David Thorne, was convicted for it. And basically the way the investigation went down, the lifestyle Yvonne had presented many, many, many better suspects than David, who has always proclaimed his innocence for 22 years. So that's really the basis of the podcast. And I got on the ground investigating with our mutual good friends, Jason Baldwin, John Harden, Danny Waxler from Jason's organization, Proclaim Justice.
Yeah, and the podcast was fantastic. I was following along the whole way, and it's a similar approach to kind of Truth and Justice, where you're, you know, kind of in real time, week by week, you're going in and doing the investigation, writing the episodes, and I somehow fell behind like one or two episodes, and Zach came in to record our follow-up 1 week, and he's like, "Oh my God, have you talked to Maggie? Is she okay?" And I was like, is she?
I think you even texted me like, "Are you okay?" or something. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, well, because it was like a week later, because I hadn't listened. I'm like, "I don't know. Maggie's usually okay. What's wrong with her?" And he's like, "Have you heard the latest episode?" I'm like, "No." And so, and he didn't want to spoil it. So then they left, and I popped the episode on, and I was out here working, listening, and then I heard the shift in the podcast, and we heard a lot of your emotions going into that. And that's when I text you. I was like, "Oh my God." But I was probably, by the time you recorded that until I heard it, it was probably a month later.
Yeah.
So it was recovered by then. But can you talk about like what happened? Then I get into like how that affects us as podcasters when we have to deal with something like this.
Yeah. So this is something that, you know, I don't know if you've dealt with, but it's always a possibility when you're dealing with people who say that they were wrongfully convicted for a crime. You know, there's always the possibility that that's not true. And so when I went into this investigation, I was pretty convinced of his innocence. I mean, you know, for 15 episodes, the listeners are too. I mean, we're all, you know, gung-ho about David Thorne being innocent just based on, like I said, just how messed up everything was, better suspects. Yvonne was a sex worker. The lifestyle she was living, she had a lot of people she was having relationships with, people who were angry at her. And so it really took the PIs coming in, John and Danny, to redo the investigation, similar to what you do. You know, once somebody's convicted, you basically have to redo it to find new evidence. So that's what we were doing. Same as you. And what happened was, is what we actually found was more evidence of David's guilt. And we didn't find anything that we found exonerating. And when he was confronted with this, he did not react in a way that they have seen innocent people react, or I have as well. And you could hear the phone call I have with him when I confront him. And so we really, I had known David for quite a while at that point, almost 2 years, and was just really struggling with what the fuck just happened. I just invested almost 2 years into this person, trying to free them from prison for something that myself and many, many, many people are convinced he didn't do. And only to have the investigators say, "Hey, Maggie, you know what? I actually think he did this."
It was, I would say, one of the most powerful podcast episodes I've ever, and maybe it just, I don't think so, because Zach kind of had the same reaction, but I don't know if it hit me a little different because I've been in that position as far as doing the real time. When I start a season, I don't know where it's going to go. You know, you do your due diligence and your research ahead of time and believe you have an innocent person you're helping. But when you start digging in, you don't know what you're going to find. But you shared on that episode your reaction, your real emotional react. And it was, especially as your friend, it was gut-wrenching to listen to you going through that.
Yeah.
Was that a choice you made? I know you're a part of the Obsessed Network. I don't know if there's any creative control. Who made the decision to let the audience hear that? To let the audience be there with you during that is a better way to put it, I think.
I did. It's really, I'm always recording. So, you know, that was a real conversation in the car we were having. And they actually told me not to record, which I was. Mm-hmm. You know, they just wanted to talk, real talk, which we were, and have this conversation. And they just didn't want to, you know, be careful of what they were saying for any reason. So they said, turn it off. And of course, I wouldn't, but I would, you know, I wouldn't air anything without their permission either way. So right. I got it all, the most real conversation we had had on tape. And, you know, I sent it to them after the fact and said, hey, guys, mm-hmm. I want to play some of this. So it was my decision. And I thought it was important to show that to listeners, to show that there is a real process and there are real people involved and there are real emotions and feelings involved on all sides. Like, we're not robots. I'm not a robot. And I thought that was really important to show.
Yeah. And it was, and your whole kind of delivery style is to take the listener along the ride with you, but it was one of the things you've invested all this time, that your time could have been spent in other places. You put your reputation on the line during this. These are all the things that were kind of coming out. It was, you could tell it was just, everything was hitting you all at one time and you were letting it come out. What I know what I think about it, but how do you feel it affected your reputation as an investigative journalist, investigative podcaster, whatever we are anymore? You were like a real journalist before.
I was. Yeah. Or am, I guess. No, I think it actually worked exactly how I wanted it to, because people came out of that and, well, they were sympathetic for me, which is not what I wanted at all. That's not what I was trying to show. But, you know, people, I had a lot of people reaching out, a lot of people tweeting and just thanking me for showing vulnerability in the reporting and the full transparency of everything. You know, just saying there's not enough of that in reporting. And when you take listeners on a journey, you know, they wanted to hear every bit and see every bit. And I was fortunate to have the ability to do that, have enough episodes to do that. That's really difficult to do when you're only doing 6 or 7 episodes. Luckily, I had the space to do that. And I think it worked really well. You know, I was worried about my credibility because, again, like, I went in hard saying this guy's innocent, and we don't really think that anymore. But it was a good thing, listeners thought, to see that we can change our minds and we don't have to, you know, they mentioned other podcasts, you know, similarly covering up the evidence when they found out, like, oh, this isn't working the way I want it to and my story is now ruined. So they were really grateful that I didn't take it in a different direction and try to just brush it aside, which just would have been unethical.
Yeah, and I think it showed incredible amounts of credibility. And I, listening to it, I always thought for myself, I've been through not quite like that, but similar to that experience, and really try to keep my emotions out of it. But one thing that when you do this kind of work, especially innocence work, you always have that other side, right? That's like, well, you're just a chill for the defense, or you need them to be innocent to make your story, all these things. What they don't understand is that, you know, you, me, a lot of us, you know, Robbie and Susan and Colin, you know, that do the Undisclosed podcast, you know, people I'm friends with that do this type of work, that no, we have a legitimate goal of finding the truth and finding justice. And when we're fighting, it's because the evidence is showing us we have something to fight for. But we're never going to lie to our audience, and we're never going to hide it. I had it. So in my season 8 case, it was a similar situation where,
which case was that?
That was the Deb Perringer case. Okay. The woman and her parents that were killed in the house. And I didn't come to the conclusion that she was guilty. I didn't have time to, but there was definitely that shift because she ended up dying of COVID in prison. Right in the midst of this. Right. But as I started to uncover evidence and I was sharing with my audience, but I kept kind of that emotional part out and was just like, look, this seems to point towards her guilt. And if this shakes out the way that I think it's going to shake out, then, you know, that would be the end of the season. We're going to have to stop. And it's tough, but your audience got to hear you. My audience wasn't in here for me throwing shit off my desk and having my temper tantrums over, like, you know, what the fuck? How did I get myself into this?
Well, yeah, and it was, there's a lot of that. I mean, beyond just, you know, the recording, which I guess, you know, we talked for like an hour, but I mean, it was like months of me like processing and like beating myself up and being like, what the fuck did you just do? Like, what is this? Like, yeah, it's a lot. It's really jarring. And I was like, how can I even trust myself anymore when I believed something so wrong? It was probably one of the most difficult and self-reflective situations I've ever been in.
So what have you done with that? I'm assuming that you haven't given up podcasting forever.
No.
That you're moving on to new projects. So what have you done with that for moving forward? And also on that note, what do you have coming up?
Yeah. So I did take a significant break. I mean, once the podcast was over anyway, I needed to do other things. I took time between to just really process and think about, you know, what is it that I want to do? Because, you know, not only was that an emotional roller coaster, it was just physically exhausting traveling all the time. And I'm sure, as you know, it's just exhausting. So took a couple months and now I am back. I am doing a podcast with Captain. With Obsessed Network, we are doing a podcast on Brian Schaefer, and it's going to be very exciting.
That's Captain's favorite case.
Oh, we know it's Captain's favorite case. Patrick's really obsessed with it too. So Patrick wanted to do it, and Captain obviously wanted to do it. And then they were like, who are we going to get to produce this? And it's me. So that's exciting. I'm going to be in Ohio this month with Captain.
Cool.
And
we should do a meetup.
Yeah, no, we should. How far are you from him?
About 4 hours. Close enough that we could meet somewhere. I was just talking to Captain. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just talking to Captain the other day that we want to do like a live event meetup somewhere between us sometime soon. So maybe we can time that for a while.
We should. Yeah. Around. I mean, this project's going to be ongoing for the year. So, you know, if not now, soon. I know Patrick really wants to do that. So there's that. And then I am doing wrongful conviction work. I am working with Jason Flom on wrongful conviction work. So we're doing wrongful conviction with Maggie Freeling, which I'm very excited about. Oh,
so you're going to be on the wrongful conviction podcast of Jason Flom's? There's going to be a whole segment for Maggie Freeling?
Oh, there's a whole Maggie podcast. Yeah. So we're working on nailing down those cases right now. Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm really, really grateful that Jason wanted to work with me. You know, as we all know, he is like the wrongful conviction guy. So
a cool guy. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
I mean, he's the most amazing person, like truly amazing human. So I'm so grateful for that. And there's a bunch of other stuff that I can't really talk about yet. But I took a break. I kind of disappeared from social media, from everywhere. And now 2022, there's a lot happening.
That's awesome. So the project with Captain, is that going to be a long form series like Murder and Alliance type deal?
Yeah, not as long. I think we're thinking, you know, closer to 7 to 10 episodes, like a mini investigation. But yeah, we've locked down a lot of people. It's going to be exciting. Patrick is convinced we're going to find Brian. So.
That's incredible. Any idea when that one might launch?
I would hope by the end of the year. I think we really, you know, we want to get this going as soon as possible. I mean, I have like three to five interviews when I get to Ohio in a couple weeks. So we're really like hitting the ground. Captain, you know, knows this case inside and out. He knows a lot of people. He knows a lot of secrets. He knows a lot of information. So he also feels pretty good about getting to the bottom of this. I'm more skeptical having worked the Maura Murray case. You know, Art and I went into that, like, we're going to find her. And then it was like 2.5 years later, no. So I'm definitely a little more skeptical on actually finding Brian Schaefer, but we'll see.
Captain is always the optimist. I think when I had him on True Crime Binge to talk about that case last year.
Yeah.
And he was convinced then that, yeah. So I'm rooting for you guys. I think that's awesome. It's a cool case. And the two of you guys working together will be really cool. Speaking of Maura Murray, it just reminded me, was it like a month or two ago? There were like some remains found and they were thinking they might have been more. Did anything come of that?
Yes, they're not. I don't know. I never followed up to see whose they were, but they're not Maura's. Yeah.
Ah, so we're still right back where
we started. Right back where we started, per usual. that case is also a letdown. Like, Art and I really thought we could figure something out. We could shake some trees, and God, we did that in 2016, 2017, and it's 2022. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that, so did you guys do the docuseries that was after Tim and Lance had already been doing the podcast for a while, right? So it had been years of investigating.
Yes. And Renner's book had just come out. He already had his blog, but his book had just come out. So there was Tim and Lance's stuff, Renner stuff, and then we did the TV show. And I still firmly believe she is like buried on private property. And
she was abducted somewhere.
I think she's on private property that just they won't be able to search. I mean, there was property down that road that we know was private hunting grounds. That would be ideal to bury somebody because it's private and it's hunting land, and why not? And it can't be searched. So, yeah, I wasn't too confident about the remains on the ski mountain. That seemed kind of not a place I would want to leave somebody. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It was too far away for her to have walked there, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely for her to walk there. But in terms of, you know, somebody picking her up and abducting her, it was actually pretty close to the crash site. And we had always heard rumors about, you know, these guys that worked on Loon Mountain. We actually stayed over at Loon Mountain one time when we were doing this to investigate that area and people, because there were always rumors about it. So it was interesting they found remains there, because a lot of people did think it was her.
Right. So do you have I'm assuming you've read into the Brian Schaefer case quite a bit to now. Do you have any preliminary theories before we can put you on record before you start investigating?
Yeah, I don't think he's alive. I'll put it that way. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but I don't think he's alive. If he's alive, he disappeared himself, or he's abducted and being held somewhere. But in terms of disappearing yourself, like, you know, I know Captain has heard theories that he ran away to start a new life because he was transgender or gay. You know, those are some things in the rumor mill. But from working the Maura Murray case and talking to experts on disappearing yourself, it's so incredibly difficult. It is so beyond difficult to do it and then to stay hidden for this long. I just don't think he's alive. So where is he? How did he die? I don't know, but I definitely don't think he's alive.
Yeah, Captain was pitching some ideas to me about possibly there was a theory out there that he was chopped up and put into the band's case, like their music instrument cases, and hauled out, or there was like construction going on next door that maybe he's under some concrete somewhere, or there was a river there. I don't know what theory Captain tends to lean to, but there was it's a weird case. For those of you guys that don't know, look up the Brian. You can listen on True Crime Binge or just listen to True Crime Garage's episodes on it. But yeah, a guy walks into a nightclub. He was on camera, right? Did they have him on camera coming in?
That's the weird thing. If he left, there's always the possibility he's physically still inside. But if he left, he wasn't caught on any cameras leaving. So
yeah, they catch this guy on camera going in, And then the club closes down and everybody leaves and he's never seen coming back out and then never seen again.
Never seen again.
So
it's really bizarre. It's a very bizarre case. Not really anybody covers it. I mean, there's no major podcasts on it. There's a few smaller podcasts on it. No major podcasts on it besides True Crime Garage. They cover it when they can. There's no TV shows. I think there was like one disappeared episode back in the day. So it's really interesting. And I think that's what compelled Patrick to want to cover it and really try and shake the trees on this, because it has not been particularly national attention like a Maura Murray case.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. Do you guys have a working title yet?
No.
No.
We don't really know anything yet other than I'm going to be in Ohio with Captain in a couple weeks.
Right. You mean the captain doesn't have this all mapped out and strategized for you already? Hell no.
That man barely answers emails, please. Like, right. I see our assistant like emailing like, hey, just bumping this to the top of your inbox. And I text him. I'm like, can you just fucking check your email, please? I'm like, I don't feel like seeing this poor girl like try to wrangle you. He's like, what the hell? I told her to text me. I'm like, just answer emails. Just answer emails.
That would be the captain.
Yeah.
And when can we hear you on? So Wrongful Conviction, his thing is like I had Laura Nyreiter on and I've had Jason on, both on True Crime Binge. And there's like, it's tricky to find because there's like one podcast feed.
There's
and
then one
like
feed.
Multiple podcasts within the feed.
Yes.
So when will the Maggie Freeling podcast within the Wrongful Conviction podcast come out?
We are not sure yet. I hope soon. This has been a very long time in the making. We're working on the pilot right now, just trying to figure out, you know, which episode's the best to put out first. You know, with Unjust and Unsolved, I did Ronnie Long, who had just been freed. So he was the first episode I did. So we're trying to find a really good one for this season.
Nice. Are you ever going to go back to Unjust, Unsolved, or is that kind of just shifted over to
the Wrongful Conviction? I mean, it's two different networks, so, you know, that's a whole other thing. But always going to be with Obsessed. Love them to death. Obsessed with them. Obsessed with Patrick. I think there's fluidity in everything. So I don't know. You know, the format's going to be different for this. We're trying to figure out, you know, Unjust was a really heavy lift to do that kind of production work on my own. It was really, really hard. I have a big team now, which is great. So we're just trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to make it different, but better, but still, you know, me and what I like to do.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm very much looking forward to all of your projects and I appreciate you coming on. And you have, I mean, as I'm sitting here listening to this, you've completely taken over the true crime podcast space.
Oh, just that's not true.
Like, you're everywhere. Oh yeah. I do podcasts with all the big true crime podcasts.
Well, I did get a message, a tweet from Payne Lindsay inquiring if I wanted to work with him. And I was like, yes. Obviously, Payne Lindsay, hello. And then I never heard back from him.
Oh, well, he never tweeted at me and asked me to work with him. So you are the true crime boss lady of all true crime. So congratulations on all these new opportunities. And congratulations on Murder and Alliance. I know it didn't shake out the way that you had hoped, but I think that it's for those of you that haven't listened to it, it's a fantastic journey, and it is a great snapshot of some awesome investigative work, great investigative journalism, and some integrity in journalism when things don't go as according to plan. That's what you get to hear the real Maggie when everything blows up in her face.
Literally in that moment, everything blew up on me and I saw my fucking world crashing. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. But thank you for that.
You handled it well, and I will let you go. I just wanted to, you were Zach's special request, so I wanted to make sure I have you on, and it's good to catch up with you, and probably have you on True Crime Binge again once one of your 15 new projects.
I know, comes out. Seriously. I miss you. I miss you guys. Thank you, Zach, for wanting to hear from me. But yeah, you guys are the best. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Produced and edited by Mike Bussing and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show is created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our font across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. You can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Charlena White, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Edith Swanneck, Lindsay Pease, Erica Cantor, and Jen Reese Incandela. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in a number of ways. To financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. On the Patreon page, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we also have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes videos of the creation of our Friday follow-up episodes that always include 10 to 30 minutes of pre-show bonus chat. Other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. To become a patron, just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the companies that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters, you can connect with us on Twitter at Truth Justice Pod. And I personally can be found on social media at Bob Ruff Truth, and Mike can be found at Murb Gaming, MURRBGAMING. Don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.
The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all-new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro, driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.